Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is good to be with you on this Tuesday, April 1st. No fooling. It is time for Faith and Family. Good conversation ahead of us today. We're going to talk with our friends from the Concordia Center for the Family. So I hope you can stick around for that conversation. As we continue our conversations on the introduction and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, talking about our Father, our Heavenly Father, and keeping His name holy. And what are they doing at the Concordia Center for the Family as the work of our Father and keeping His name holy? We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit on Faith and Family. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section and click on that CUW logo there. That'll take you to their page. You can find out about the programs they have to offer, where they're located. Go check it out, kfuo.org. Well, it is time to get to our guests. Joining us by phone this morning, a couple of friends from Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Professor Ben Freudenberg. He's the director of the center, the Concordia Center for the Family. Good morning, Professor Freudenberg.
Morning, Andy, and God's blessings to you this day.
Thank you to you as well. Also joining us this morning, Jennifer Freudenberg. She's project manager for the Concordia Center for the Family at Concordia University, Ann Arbor. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
I have to say, it was an article that you had written, Jennifer, that prompted this conversation for the Michigan In Touch newsletter, which is the supplement to the Lutheran Witness for the Michigan District. And I know I've been talking with you and Ben for a while about the Concordia Center for the Family and the director of Family Life Ministry Program and the Family Life Program there at Concordia. But it was the article that you wrote that really connected it to this theme that we have this week, the introduction of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and keeping God's name holy, hallowed be thy name. And you wrote about a student, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But before we get to that, I'd like to hear about the Concordia Center for the Family. I think, we've mentioned it several times here on the program, but I don't know if our listeners really know what the Concordia Center for the Family is. Ben, would you like to share with us what the Concordia Center for the Family is?
Yeah, sure. The Concordia Center for the Family really promotes and encourages healthy, Christ-centered family relationships. It's a part of the university. It's one of the institutes at our university. And what we're trying to help our church body see is that God's kingdom exponentially grows because of Christ-centered homes are filling the earth with godly young men and women. And that our hope is that as we raise the capacity of the church to minister to and help Christian homes be healthy, our children are making it home to the house their Father in heaven has prepared for them. And what we do is we're trying to help congregations, districts, organizations, and agencies really understand their benefit to the family and the kingdom of God as they provide education, research, and partnerships and resources to those families that our churches and organizations and districts serve. So that's what we're about. And what we're finding is that as congregations and districts engage with the Concordia Center for the Family, they even find greater joy and significance as they intentionally help families thrive through Christ and His love. And so that's basically what we're trying to do, cast a vision to raise the capacity of our church to impact the home in a positive way.
Very good. And so the Concordia Center for the Family is located at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, which also includes the Family Life Program. Can you tell us about Family Life?
The Family Life Program is a program that our university offers, and it helps students who really want to engage the family and help the family thrive. And we do that by offering three different tracks. One track is we produce family ministers for the church. It's called the Director of Family Minister. And these are not only certified family life educators, but they're also then commissioned for work in the church, in the Lutheran church. We also have a group of students who are going to be certified family life educators who also gain a second certification as a child life specialist. And they work in hospitals with very sick children and helping their families walk through that experience together. and keeping that family intact and helping that child normalize this crisis in their life. And then the third group of students are going to go into the community, and they work with community agencies like adoption center, foster care, people working in senior centers and things like that. And they're helping those families, dealing with the clientele from those agencies, really grow in their capacity to be helpful as family to the people that they encounter. So the Concordia Family Life Program is producing church workers, workers in the hospital, workers in the community, and we see them all as people who are in ministry to families.
So this program builds up students, prepares students to serve in a variety of roles to support the family.
Correct.
You mentioned a certified family life educator. What is that?
Well, the National Council of Family Relations certifies our program and equips what a certification is they guarantee that the students who graduate from our program have the capacity to deal appropriately with families in prevention. So the Family Life Program is a prevention group of people who want to prevent crisis in families from happening. And so this organization, the National Council of Family Relations, has a set of standards, and our program reaches those standards. And so as our students graduate, they kind of guarantee that these students are best equipped to do the job that we promise they can do.
So it's a national type of recognition, a credential that's recognized beyond the church, but recognized nationally then.
Exactly.
Very good. So why is it important to study, to research and study family life and the family? Why is this important for us as a church and as a society?
Well, you know, that biblically, God created this institution called the family. I mean, it's a biblical truth. And he created it so that children have a safe place to grow and thrive. And so that Malachi says in 2:14, so that through marriage we could populate the world with godly children. And so we see the family as the engine of exponential growth for the kingdom of God. And for that engine to work its best, they need certain knowledge, skills, and attitudes. And in our society today, I think some of that is being lost. And I think it's the church has this great opportunity to be a voice in our culture that says that marriage is a valuable institution, that marriage is one of the foundational organizations of our culture, and that the stronger this family is, especially the Christian family, the better our communities will be, our churches will be, our nation will be. So I believe it's just critical in our culture today that as church we prepare our families to be the best families God created them to be.
And Jennifer, you see a lot of the students. What do you notice about the students? What is your role as a project manager there?
I do like the prayer ministry. We've started a prayer ministry because we felt that the center had to be based on prayer, and so that's one of my roles as project manager. We have a milestone ministry that we've started for our students when they are accepted into the program and they have to go through a formal interview, portfolio. When they're accepted into the program, there's the first milestone present we give when they go on internship and when they graduate. So that's part of my projects. Part of it is to write and do some marketing and to do some traveling and promoting. And our students I have been out in the different communities, and our students are going up against students from U of M and Eastern for practicums and internships. And people have said to us over and over, we choose your students first because they are so well prepared. They have a whole different heart about them, and there is just an energy that they have. And so that's what I see in these students. It's so exciting to see them.
What you mentioned practical experience, and Ben, you may have comments on this as well. What practical experience do the students gain there in the Family Life program at Concordia University Ann Arbor?
Well, they have to go on two different practicums. That's like field work in two different areas, and then and that's only after they've been accepted into the program. And then after that, there's an internship in their specified area that's usually about 6 months. So they really have a lot of hands-on experience in different fields of family life.
Yeah, the different agencies in our community, like social service agencies, like POWER, or teen pregnancy centers and the like, all of our students experience a social service setting. Those going into church work will go into churches in the area or in the United States. And then those in our community service will do everything from homeless shelters to after-school programs. And like Jennifer said, it's a hands-on part of our program. And the students tell us this is where they really learn how to work with families. The book learning is great, but this is the best place to apply it and make it make sense for them.
Sure. That practical experience is always valuable. I remember as a student having, I had two internships as well, one as a communications student and one as a director of Christian education student. And both experiences were valuable to get out in the field and do what you've been studying, the theory and all that you've been studying for so long. And now you finally get to get out in the field and do that. At what point in their studies do the students have this practical experience?
Well, they in their junior year, they do two what we call practicums, and those are 8 hours a week of a volunteer time that's supervised in one of those agencies we just mentioned. And then in their last semester, they take an internship, which is usually 6 months in the church and 3 to 6 months in the hospital or the community agency. It just depends on the limits that those agencies set.
Now, are most of your students doing their practicum and internships there in the Ann Arbor area, or are they in other locations as well?
Well, it's the greater Ann Arbor area, anywhere from Detroit up into Flint, Toledo, even to the west of us into Grand Rapids. It goes beyond that. Those are practicums. That's where our student is living on campus and they drive back and forth. But our internships are full time. So that could be anywhere, in the world. We've had students in Alaska, in New Zealand, in Malaysia, in many of the different states in America. So the internship is a full time 6 month process where they are full-time staff at the site.
Now, you mentioned three different tracks earlier that kind of cover a broad spectrum of ages. I'd like to look at each of those tracks just a little bit more to find out what they do and what type of careers might lie ahead for them. I think the one of them you mentioned was working in a hospital setting.
Right. The hospital setting is a new career in the hospital. It's called a child life specialist. And there's the national organization that our program prepares them to sit for that national exam. And what they do in the hospital is they walk with that child from the very moment they come into the hospital through that whole experience and prepare them for every procedure that's going to happen to them, help normalize this quite strange thing that's going on in the hospital to them and their bodies, but also to prepare their parents and to walk with their parents and even the well siblings so that the whole family can stay together and support the child who's sick. And the reason that the certified family life educator is so suited for this is much of the dynamics that are going on in the hospital are family dynamics. And by understanding family dynamics and also the child life specialist skills, knowledge, and attitudes, those two combined really make a great professional child life specialist.
And I believe another one of the tracks you mentioned involved working with older adults. What's that track?
Sure, the community service track. A number of our students have chosen the older folks. You see, family life is a lifespan education process. So, you know, it's children, infants, children, adolescents, adults, and senior adults. And so some choose that senior adult portion of the family life cycle to use as their group that they really want to minister to. And so one of the places that they find themselves getting opportunities to serve is in our senior centers or in daycare centers for the senior adult and or in the church. And I think this is a new thing that is coming about with the age wave coming. Churches are going to now need to find a way to have an expert in this lifespan to meet the needs of our seniors in our churches.
Which is that the other track that you were talking about, I believe, the Director of Family Life Ministry.
Right, and this is one of the new professions in the church that is a rostered position on in our synod, where the students graduate from our program. They take extra theology and biblical studies, apply that to the Certified Family Life Educator. They focus in one of the three lifespans, children, adolescents, or adults, senior adults. And then they're called and placed into a congregation to help families thrive in one of those lifespans.
Now, someone might look at this and say, okay, what kind of programs are they going to set up? Is it about programs?
Well, in the end, it's always a program, but it's really about an attitude. It's about how do we walk with families through their life course, and how do we help them transition from life stage to life stage in appropriate ways so that they have what they need to be the best parents, how they can help their marriages thrive, how they can manage their resources, how do they best be equipped to teach sex education in their homes, and how do they live this godly life in their family. And so what can the church do to help that family be the very best agency, not just to be a happy family, but to make sure that their kids are faithful in their faith and make it home to the house their Father in heaven has prepared for them. That's really the bottom line. How do we, as church, raise the capacity of the home to be that agent of godly nurture and care?
And the Director of Family Life Ministry program has been around for a little while now.
About 10 years.
10 years. And so we have a handful of directors of family life ministry on the roster now. What is it, about 20, 30?
I'd say there's about 60.
60? My numbers are way off.
Well, give or take.
It's been a while, obviously, since I looked
but
at the roster.
You know what's really interesting, Andy, is we've had more pastors calling for students then we have students available. So that's a good sign.
What are the needs of the congregations that are contacting you looking for students from the Director of Family Life Program?
Well, I think they're trying to meet the needs of parents that are struggling in today's culture in raising their children in godly ways. I think they're looking for, children's work, but not just children's work, but the capacity to also enhance those the marriages of children, the parenting skills of children, support the family through the church. And so what we're seeing is a trend where congregations, yeah, they want children's ministry, but they also want family ministry to go along with the children's ministry. So I think that's what the congregations are looking for, this added plus that our students obviously could deliver.
And so I want to move on to the story about one of the students in the Family Life program. Jennifer, you recently wrote an article in the Michigan In Touch Lutheran Witness Supplement about a visit with Tyler, a student in the Family Life program. What was the purpose of your visit?
Well, actually, in our prayer ministry, once a month with our prayer requests, we send out an article. And I knew that Tyler had done a practicum at this particular mission, and I thought, you know, it would really be great to highlight what he was doing. And when I called him in, I really didn't know much about what he was doing, but I knew that it had affected him, this practicum, by his talk, the way he would he was just so excited. And so that's what prompted me to interview him, to call him into my office, and we sat down and we had an interview. And then the article came out of that.
Hopes and Dreams in Unexpected Places is the title of the article in the Michigan In Touch, I believe it was the February 2014 supplement to the Lutheran Witness. So in your visit with him, what did you learn about Tyler and his practicum?
Well, I knew some of this from the professional interview he had with us to be accepted into the Family Life program, but I learned even more how passionate he is about Christ. I learned that he has a heart for the homeless. I mean, you don't see a lot of young people who are there. He is there. And I learned that he not only had a heart, but he learned how to work with the homeless. Oftentimes, because they have so many needs, you have to kind of decipher how much you give to an extent before you back off. And so I learned that about him, that he wanted to just jump in with both feet, but he learned how to temper things well. I learned that he has a family who really loves and supports him. That was a great learning, how his dad is the spiritual leader in their home. That was really cool. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation and we'll get to hear from Tyler as well about his experience there in the Family Life program at Concordia University Ann Arbor. So we'll continue the conversation after this break. Listeners, stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Who was your hero when you were a kid?
Neil Armstrong or Louis Armstrong?
Roberto Clemente or Walter Cronkite? Rosa Parks or Sally Ride?
You're the right age to do something you can be remembered for.
Register to become an organ and tissue donor.
Even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or beyond, any age is the right age to donate the gift of life.
Learn how at organdonor.gov or call 1-866-99-DONATE. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Today's April Fool's Day. Most say it originated in France when they changed the observance of New Year's Day from the end of March to January 1st. those who still celebrated it on April 1st were cheerfully derided. Now many around the world note the day by making pranks on others. Maybe you've already been the victim of one such hoax. Every year this day reminds me of the ultimate hoax on society, but it's far too tragic to be funny. Today, the abortion industry will fool over 3,000 women into believing that killing their innocent unborn baby is the answer to their woes. Nothing could be further from the truth. Of all days, please join me in prayer that God will remove Satan's blinders from people's eyes to see abortion for what it truly is.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
God said, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid-American Coaches.
For our 75th anniversary, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service celebrates more than 500,000 lives transformed through ministries of mercy and justice. Celebrate this milestone through Refugee Sunday on June 22nd. Special LCMS resource kits are on the way to your congregation for planning, discussion, prayer, and action. Join us and thousands of other congregations as we walk with migrants and refugees to brighter tomorrows. LIRS.org.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Supreme Court has turned away an early look at a challenge by religious nonprofit groups to the health care law's birth control mandate. Lawsuits filed by the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, Priests for Life, and others are making their way through the courts. The justices on Monday declined to weigh in on them before any federal appeals court has reached a final decision. The National Director of Priests for Life, Father Frank Pavone, says an appeals court will hear arguments in his group's case on May 8th, but regardless of its decision,
what we've said to the court, we've said publicly, we simply are not going to comply with the mandate.
The Obama administration has offered a compromise to religious nonprofits.
The government is saying to us, look, just sign a form that says you object. Well, the problem is by signing that form, we are essentially authorizing the government then to take other means to provide this objectionable coverage to our employees.
The Supreme Court is likely to eventually decide the issue. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and today we are continuing our conversations on the Lord's Prayer, the introduction and the first petition to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean? What does this mean with these words? God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. Hallowed be Thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's Word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. So today we are talking with our friends from the Concordia Center for the Family at Concordia University Ann Arbor and what's going on with the Family Life Program. And before we went to the break, we were talking with Jennifer Freudenberg. She's a project manager for the Concordia Center for the Family about one of the students she had a chance to visit with. And it is time now to check in with that student. We're talking today with Tyler Cronkright. He is a senior at Concordia University Ann Arbor in the Family Life Program. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm blessed to be here, blessed to share my experience, and I hope that the listeners can, they can take away something from my experience as well.
Well, Tyler, how did you get connected with the Family Life Program at Concordia? What drew you to it?
Well, to be honest, I just go where God tells me to go. And when I was, in middle school and high school, my plan was to go to the University of Michigan. Both my parents went there, and that was kind of my plan up until halfway through high school. And I started coming to Concordia for tool times. And that what tool time is, it's a retreat for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I got involved with that through my church, and just started coming to Concordia, just as a high school student. And and it just kind of, there's just something about this place that draws you to it. You can't really put your finger on it. It's kind of like the X Factor, it's intangible, and there's just something that God reaches out to you and pulls you in. And so I came in here actually. Ben was talking about the child life specialist. That was originally what my plan was. And a little bit after my freshman year, I realized that this really wasn't the thing for me. And during my sophomore year, I actually went out to Los Angeles to do some mission work. And out there, we were working with the street gangs and inner city ministry and all that good stuff. And that was when I realized, I want to be an impact on, the kids that are struggling, the at-risk youth, the kids that, don't have parents, kids that don't have good father figures. And so that's kind of when I dropped the child life specialist, and then I added the social work aspect. And then God kept tugging at me to go into church work. And eventually I ended up going into, I added the church work program. So now I'm in the family life program for church work and social work. And eventually my plan is to go to the St. Louis Seminary to become a pastor as well.
Well, very good. So you had a little change of plans, but it ended up with a strong desire to serve those in need in the community through, as you said, the more of the social work aspect of the program.
Absolutely. And last semester, in Jennifer's article, she talked about my experience with the Family of God in Detroit. And that was, just my experience there. That was like the icing on the cake. That was God saying, "This is where you're going to be. This is what I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. These are the people that I want you to touch." So that I was like, I finally just said, "Your will be done," and I'm going to do this. So,
well, amen to that. God's will is certainly done among us. When His word is there, and when His word and His name is kept holy, He continues to work in us, and thanks be to God for that.
Absolutely.
How does God use you and others in that Family of God mission there in Detroit?
He uses us in so many different ways, and not just myself, and not just the pastor, not just the deacon, but He uses. He uses the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the homeless guys that come in through those doors to, touch the lives of others. I mean, I was talking to the pastor down there, and he was saying, "Tyler, I don't think you realize how much of a blessing you've been to this church." And I said to him, I said, "I don't think that you guys realize how much of a blessing that this has been to me." It's a two-way street, and one of the things that we always talk about is how important it is to make sure that these individuals that walk through the doors, that they hear the word of God, that they hear the gospel, because you don't know whether or not you're going to see them again. And I'll give you an example. There was a young woman who was very reluctant to come to church. She was a prostitute, and one of her friends had been coming to the women's Bible study program, which is led by the pastor's wife, on Thursday nights. And so she was coming to that, her friend was, and she kept, asking her, "Hey, will you come to Bible study with me? Will you come to Bible study with me?" And finally, she said, "Okay, fine, I'll come with you just to kind of get you off my back." And she went there, and she heard the word of God, she heard the gospel, and she went up to the pastor's wife after that and said, "I'm really interested, and I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to know more about about, you know, what he's done for me. And I want to, you know, change my lifestyle. I want to become, you know, I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Christ. And she said, the pastor's wife said, okay, so she talked to her a little bit, and then she said, well, my husband, you know, the pastor, he'll be here Sunday, you know, leading worship. Why don't you come on Sunday? She said, okay, I will see you Sunday. And she walked out the door, and no more than 2 hours later, she was murdered. And it was just so, like, that touched me in a way that I cannot express, because it is just so crucial that each person hears the gospel, especially in that kind of an area, because you really do not have any idea what is going to happen. And so that's why I've fallen in love with this ministry. This is why I feel called, because I want to be I want to work, with other people. I want to be God's his hands and feet to get his word to these people that don't know him.
And thanks be to God for that. So many might look at social work as just that, an end to the means. But it right there, it's an opportunity for a conversation to tell the good news about Jesus, to tell the gospel. As you mentioned, that the young lady that came to that mission and heard the gospel of Jesus before her life was ended in this world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's, I mean, I could probably talk to you for hours and hours, Andy, about the different stories and experiences that I've had down there. But just how important that church is. There was another man that was, he was a known drug lord down there. And, when he was in his prime, in his 30s and 40s. And, he made hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, selling drugs. And as he got older, he was associated with the gangs and all that good and all that stuff. And as he got older, he started, his mind started to wander and stuff like that. And he ended up coming to church. And, this is the same guy that, one Friday night we were having a men's Bible study, and, what happens is they serve a meal before Bible study, and they like to wrap up the leftovers, because some of these guys won't eat. When they come to Bible study, that's the only time they're able to eat during the day. And there's nothing going on Saturday at the mission. So if you eat on Friday, you probably won't eat again until Sunday at worship. And so on Friday, they like to pack up all the leftovers so they can take it with them to eat on Saturday, because they probably won't get a meal on Saturday if they don't. So the meal had ended, and we happened to have pizza that night, and we wrapped up the pizza, and he put the extras in his pockets. And there's another man that came in late. He was coming for Bible study. You could tell, that he had been out, because it was starting to get cold at that time, and he just looked really, really in rough shape. And he sat down, kind of saw that there was no food, but he sat down for Bible study anyways. And this guy that had been, a top dog in the drug trade down there, and had been convicted of different murders and different things, and he walked over to him, he gave him the extra food that he had shoved in his pockets, and said, "Here you go, sir," and then he just walked away without saying another word. And that's just, for me, that was another thing that just touched me. It's how important the church is, and how important that a change in attitude has been talked about, how it's a change of attitude. And that is just, the way that church brings that about is just amazing. I want so much to be a part of that.
Tyler, how did your family life impact your decision to pursue this vocation, this work? What was family life like for you, and how, what was your family like, and how did that impact your decision to pursue this?
Well, I have the greatest family in the world. My parents, from a very young age, I was baptized, and we went to church, and my father was, I could not ask for a better father. He's the guy that, that whenever I had an issue, not only was he there to console me and to give me advice, but he pointed me to God first. And when I first told them about about me going to Detroit, my mom's motherly instincts kicked in, and she was kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want you to go down there. You know, it's a little bit dangerous. I said, I know. And my dad said the same thing to me, but he said, but that's where God wants you to be, and that's where you should go. And so they've been both very supportive, and I don't think there's been a time that I've been down in Detroit where on the way back, you know, I'll usually give him a call and, you know, tell him about the experience, just because, I mean, he's been my biggest fan so far, and he's just supported me in everything. And, you know, we talked about how crucial it is for kids to have a father that loves them and cares about them and points them to God, and that is the spiritual leader of the household. And me and my younger sister, we are incredibly blessed to have both a mother and a father that do that. And it's just, I'm so blessed by God that I have the support. And they kind of tugged at me to, you know, oh, Tyler, you'd be a great pastor. And I kept saying, oh, no, you know, that's not what I want to do. This was in high school. And eventually, you know, when I finally submitted to, you know, to God and said, you know, okay, you win, I'm going to go to seminary, you know, I called up my dad, and he said, that's the greatest news that you could have told me. And, you know, we're going to support you. You know, we know it's going to be a little bit extra money, but we're going to support you. And, you know, in Concordia, it's no secret that Concordia is one of the more expensive schools. And, but they didn't let that become a factor. You know, both of them, my mom and my dad, knew how important it was for me to come here and to get this family life degree and to pursue seminary. You know, they weren't going to let money become an issue. Their attitude was, we're going to help you do this no matter what, you know, even if it means taking out a couple extra loans. And like I said, I can't say it enough. I'm just so incredibly blessed to have both of them in my life, and both of them so active, and both of them so supporting.
How important is having how did your earthly father point you to your heavenly father?
It's from anything from, you know, sports related things to, you know, to women, you know, relationship issues. It's always been, God, you know, it sounds like God's leading you down this path. You know, he points me to scripture. We've had numerous conversations, even, you know, when we're up north sitting around the campfire. It's, you know, it usually starts out, you know, talking about the Tigers or talking about Michigan football, but then it usually comes around full circle, and we end up talking about God's love and God's plans for us, and, you know, how important it is to not think of our own needs, well, because God's going to provide for those needs, and how important it is for us to follow God's will, and that God's plans, you know, they're not our plans. And you know, they say when we make plans, you know, God laughs because those aren't his plans. And, you know, and just having my dad to be able to talk about stuff like that, and for him to be on the same level as me and to be able to lead me has just been, I mean, I would not be in this position without him, his support, and without him leading me to Christ first.
With your dad always bringing it back to the scriptures, always bringing it back to Jesus. As a child, as a teen, was that always like, oh, great, here goes dad again with another with another Bible lesson for me?
No, it really wasn't. And you know, because I always brought it back with you know, because in high school I was very into sports, and I remember when I was especially in middle school too, when I was playing hockey, we had ice time on Wednesday nights, and of course Wednesday night was weekday school with, you know, with confirmation class. And, you know, I remember saying, you know, I'd rather not go to confirmation class. Like, we have a huge game coming up, you know, tonight. My dad said, no, you're going to go to confirmation class. Like, this is important. And at the time it's like, okay, like, I guess, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. But looking back on it now, I am so grateful for that, because obviously right now I'm not playing hockey. Like, I'm here studying to become a pastor. I'm here studying to get the word of God out. And for him to have that mindset and that attitude then, to instill those the values of faith and the values of Christ in me at such a young age, you know, looking back, and you know, when I was there, it didn't really seem like much, but looking back, I am so grateful that he did that.
So now you're in the Family Life program at Concordia University Ann Arbor, and you had this great practicum this term and an experience that has certainly been has changed your perspective, it sounds like, on a number of things. What are your hopes upon graduation?
Well, I think I touched on a little bit earlier. I have one more semester here. I have to finish up my undergrad, my academics, the general studies. That's what I'm talking about. So all that stuff. I have a couple more classes to finish out my psychology degree also, and then I have been placed at an internship at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Southgate, Michigan, which will be really awesome because it's about 15 minutes from the Family of God mission in Detroit. So I'll be able to be there more often. I'll be able to do my work at Christ the King as well. And I'm so pumped for that because the internship church has all these different resources and all these different things that I can help to, you know, work with Family of God in Detroit and kind of, use those resources to better pursue my mission there too. And then after that internship, it'll be the last summer in Michigan, and then God willing, you know, I'm accepted to the St. Louis Seminary, and in the fall of 2015, my plan is to go to seminary and study the theology, get all the theology, and then after I graduate from SEM, wherever God leads me, that's where I'll go. And my hope is that he will lead me in a place where I'm close to an inner city, like a Detroit, like a Chicago, like a New York, like a Los Angeles, like a Dallas. And what I kind of see happening is me having like a congregational church and then also doing, a mission church in the inner city as well. So I can kind of, reach out to everybody. But I really want to, my emphasis is really going to be that inner city street ministry to those that haven't been as blessed as me with a solid family, and to be able to teach them how to become a family that can thrive in society.
Out of all the classes you've taken so far, what's been your favorite class?
That's a tough question. Well, I would say Ben Freudenberg's class because he's sitting right next to me. But in all honesty, I would have to say probably the best class that I've had. I've taken so many good classes. Honestly, it probably was Ben's class about what's it called, marriages class?
Marriage in the Family.
Marriage in the Family.
I left a great impression.
Well, I just couldn't remember.
It left him speechless.
I just don't remember the name of the class. But just teaching us how to teach families on different levels and different aspects, and emphasizing marriage and the different aspects of marriage that make a marriage whole. And it really makes you think about, as a young guy that's 22 years old and starting to look for, not really look, but when you're getting to the point where you're waiting for God to show you the woman that you're supposed to be with, it really makes you aware of all the different things that are so crucial in a marriage. And once you are married, how to make that work and how to make that a Christ-centered marriage. And so that class honestly was probably one of the more valuable classes that I've had. Definitely more valuable than like a biology.
It's important to understand biology too.
That's true.
Ben, how can God use students and servants like Tyler to support faithful family life?
Well, I think that he can take the students, their giftedness and their hopes and dreams, and then use them to help families gain what they need to thrive in our society, to be a witness in the world. What was really exciting about Tyler's experience is that is a homeless church. That church is a group of people that gather every week as a regular church, and they're all homeless. And it's just an amazing experience to see the Lutheran church gathered all these different kinds of people all across America in churches, no matter if they're homeless churches or suburban or inner city. And then how can our students help those families who gather there gain the knowledge, skills, and attitudes to help them be all God expects of them, so that the next generation, you know, is filling the earth with godly people, and the kingdom of God is exponentially growing. And, you know, the other day a person came up and we were talking about Michigan's law on same-sex marriage, and they were saying, well, wow, the state's kind of letting us down. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute, maybe it's the church that's letting us down. Maybe we aren't doing enough to help our people be the salt and light so that things like this become maybe not so easily changed. And so I think that's what our students do. It's raising the capacity of families to be the salt and light in the earth for Jesus.
If someone's interested in finding out about the Concordia Center for the Family or the Family Life Program at Concordia University Ann Arbor, maybe they're thinking, you know, this sounds like something I might like to do. I might like to work in an urban setting, or I might like to work in a congregation, or I might like to work in a hospital supporting families, helping them thrive, helping them be healthy families that that raise children in the true faith. Where can they find out more? Who would be a good candidate?
Well, they could obviously call our office here at Concordia University, and we'd love to talk with them. They could go on the CUAA website and find the Family Life portion on the website, and they could explore that. Or they could talk to any of our students. They would. They're probably the people that know the best, like Tyler. God has just sent some excellent people here. So we believe that this is something God's really trying to awaken the church to be more aware of, that we need to really begin investing in our families so that the gospel can be sown. Generations that follow will be following him. And we would love for students that would be interested just to contact us, and we will try our best to give them the information they need.
Certainly. And today's program is being recorded, and it'll be archived on our website. We'll provide a link to the Concordia Center for the Family and the Family Life Program at Concordia University Ann Arbor today, with the archive of today's program as well, so that listeners can just click on that link and take them right to the program and your information there as well.
Wow. Well, we surely appreciate the time, Andy.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking with our friends from the Concordia Center for the Family at Concordia University Ann Arbor. Our guests have been Professor Ben Freudenberg, the director of the Family Life Program there at Concordia University Ann Arbor. Ben, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
My pleasure.
And also talking with us today, our guest has been student Tyler Cronkright. He's a student in the Family Life Program there at Concordia University Ann Arbor. Tyler, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Andy, and God bless.
And, of course, we have to give credit to Jennifer Freudenberg, Project Manager for the Concordia Center for the Family. Jennifer, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome. God's blessings to you.
God's blessings to the folks there at Concordia. Coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance, so stick around, listeners, for that. Coming up later on this week, we've got more Faith and Family. Tomorrow, we'll join the Lenten service at Peace Lutheran Church here in St. Louis, and then later on in the week, we'll talk with the American College of Pediatricians, Lutheran Witness Preview, and we'll talk more about praying the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Braun Campbell. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.